2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. It says, I'm reading the New Living Translation. If you're reading another translation, it's very similar. No changes in its meaning. I remember your genuine faith. It's Paul talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord. He's just gotten done talking about he can't wait to see him again. When they left the last time, they were both in tears, and they really longed to see each other again. And he's just telling Timothy how much he's thankful for him and what he's doing for the kingdom. And that's when he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. So today I want to speak on the subject, a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy. If you'll put your Bibles down and go before the Lord in prayer one more time with me for today's service, I'd appreciate it. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to give praise and honor and glory to you, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God, I pray today that you would truly touch our hearts, dig deep into our hearts, and help us understand the importance of leaving a lasting legacy and the decisions we make for your kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, today that you would help me, God, as the minister of your word and the good ground that is before me today. God, I pray it would go forth your word as good seed and grow in these families and create lasting legacy and favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. If you're not, you have to stay standing. I'm just kidding. So, not only Family Day, but Grandparents' Day. That's a huge deal. And I thought it was very unique that when we originally kind of put this Family Day together, that it just happened to land on Grandparents' Day. Because I was already feeling, you know, when families get in the room and you've already set the tone of what the day will kind of be themed around, being families, come be a part of a family, come be with your family, whatever that looks like. A lot of times, you know, you just kind of think towards that when you're building a sermon. And then on top of that, Grandparents' Day being the same time, I just felt that it was even more appropriate to discuss what it is like to have a lasting legacy. Now, just so you're aware, you know, I get kind of crazy. I would call it crazy. I get very passionate when I'm preaching, so I may lift my voice up higher than usual, but it's not necessarily going to be an aisle running service. As much as I would love it to be that way, you know, coming from old time Pentecost, would love for it to be an aisle running service. But really today, I just want to shift your perspective on the decisions you make in your life and consider someone besides yourself. You know, that's important because most of Christianity and the walks and sermons about salvation, though very valid and important, they are very much geared toward the individual decision to follow Christ. And although I am all for that, and I believe that every relationship with Christ is individual, and I think you have to make a decision that I can't make for you and you can't make for me. However, there are decisions in our life that affect more than us. We can make decisions in our life that really affect downline. Occasionally it may affect a friend, or it may affect a coworker, or it may affect someone else around you. But a lot of the decisions we make in our life affect the people we love the most, our family. Now, whether that is a husband, wife, and kids, or it's a single individual that is just getting started on what we would consider adulthood, whatever it might be, or if you're a teenager, you still make decisions that start going in a direction of legacy. I give an example. You know, Scarlett doesn't know what she's doing, so most of the things she's doing has very little impact except on my patients. And so it is not that she is building a legacy right now, but there is a certain point in time and an age that you start having to make decisions that really does outlast childhood, teenage years, and adulthood. They formulate who you are. Some of you in the room have heard this story, and I'll just tell a brief version of it just so you understand what I mean. As a 8-9-year-old boy, I had a purple suit. You may have heard this story. I know some kids from youth camp are here, and so they've probably heard this story. I had a purple suit. Now, I mean Barney purple. It wasn't cute purple. I was 8 years old, and I just naturally outgrew the suit. Well, that was the end of my ministry. I wore it every Sunday. It was my church suit. It was my preacher suit. And I thought, it's over. I don't have a suit to wear to church. And so I just got in my prayer closet. And now, by the way, that's my clothes closet. It wasn't some special closet I had. And I just laid on top of my shoes and begged God, if you would give me another purple suit, I promise you I'll serve you the rest of my life. You know how kids pray out of whippings? I know we don't do that anymore, but I did. Lord, please let my parents forget. Amnesia, come over them in the name of Jesus. I do not need them to remember to give me a whipping. I'll serve you, God, I promise, if you just have them forget, you know? And so I prayed for this suit that way. And it's a longer story than this, but several months went by and my mom found one. Now, we were poor, 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 poor. Shake and baked chicken and rice and bologna sandwiches were the prime dinner we had. And so we didn't have money to go buy a purple suit for $30, $40 for a 9-year-old, 10-year-old. She found a suit purple and fit me perfectly for $11 at a consignment store. And I remember sitting in a red Dodge Durango looking out the back window thinking, God can do anything. And in that moment, that's what the kind of things I'm talking about for young kids that you may feel like, well, I don't have a family. I don't have kids. My parents take care of me. There is still something in you as a young person that you can start building a legacy. The legacy is only a foundation of your faith and God's answering of your faith and prayers. You know, they say, Jesus even said, if you're going to come to me, I need you to come to me as one of the little kids. I need you to come to me like a little child. Why would he say such a thing? Well, I remember having faith that God could do anything. And now, sometimes I'm like, God, I know you can do anything, but are you gonna? Life tends to callous us to having faith. Hardship and difficulty tend to make us callous toward, does God even see me, recognize me? Will he even answer? Will my prayer go past the sheetrock above me? But there is something to be said about a legacy. Now, some today, you may come from various backgrounds. There may be fifth, sixth generation apostolic church-going people, Pentecostal people in your family. And then you may be the very first person. That's probably hitting about everybody in the room. But it doesn't matter whether you've been handed something great or not. You can start building a legacy. Timothy had such a legacy that was handed to him. His faith that he had, the ministry he walked in, was given by his grandmother and his mother. And Paul noticed it in him. That just goes to show you that it doesn't have to come from grandpa or dad, though those are important. The statistics prove when a father comes to church and gives his life to Christ, 98% of the time, 98% of the time, the rest of the family follow. So the dads are important, but this story in 2 Timothy is proof that the prayers of a grandmother and a mother can go a very long way in a legacy. So that shows me it takes both. It takes both to build a legacy. What kind of legacy are we building? Legacy is more than the possessions or inheritance of money that you leave your kids or your grandkids. And I'm all for that. I hope to get one day. Fingers crossed. The Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his kids' kids, his children's children. But legacy is more than just the financial inheritance given and passed along. Legacy, and this is what I have been given, because you can obtain legacy far before the passing of your loved one. Legacy is faith, values, character, and love. What kind of legacy are you building? What kind of legacy do you build a foundation of in your family? You see, 2 Timothy 1 and 5 reminds us Timothy's faith started with his grandmother and with his mother. And that legacy continued in Timothy. They didn't just talk about what they believed. They didn't say, hey, Timothy, this is like the Bible and this is what we believe. They lived it. They had attributes and actions that followed. Timothy, we believe in one God. Timothy, we believe in baptism. Timothy, we believe in walking right before the Lord. And they didn't just tell him, they showed him. They lived out their faith. And somehow, some way, through living a life of building that kind of legacy, it got inside Timothy. There was something about it. I can tell you, if you want your legacy to be filled with the things of the world, then all you got to do is commit to putting your kids around that all the time, because it'll get inside of them. If you want them to be movie buffs, just watch lots of movies with them. If you want them to be into sports, then take them to tons of sporting events and put them in tons of sporting activities. And I'm not against any of it. But if you want them to be a child of God, you are also going to have to put the word in front of them. You're going to have to teach them to be honest. I don't know where Scarlett learned no. But she learned it far before yes. I don't know where Scarlett learned to, when I walk in a room and give a certain type of look of come here, it's a turn around and run away. I didn't teach her that. That wasn't on Miss Rachel. That wasn't on any of the kindergarten or daycare curriculum. Something innate within us. It's the nature within us that we are all born with, that we are not naturally pursuant of the Lord and the things of the Lord. There is a God-sized hole inside of all of us, but there's not something within us that says, I'd like to be honest instead of lie. There's not something natural within us. So when we are talking about building a legacy, if you want them to be honest, loving, kind, if you want your children to walk with the Lord, if you want them to pray and talk with the Lord, you are going to have to do that yourself. I'm sorry. The days are far gone by that you can relax and expect everyone else to instill good godly values into your children. Those days are long gone. The culture of good, honest, hardworking, and honest and truthful people with integrity are far gone past us. You are going to have to be intentional to teaching your kids and students. You're going to have to be far more intentional, whether you have parents at home that teach you or not, to say, no matter what anybody else around me does, this is what I go by. This is what I live by. I'm going to pray. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His word. I'm going to worship when nobody else wants to worship. I'm going to dance when nobody else wants to dance. I'm going to dance like David when his own wife looked at him and said, "You're a foolish man." And David said, "Woman, you don't even know what God has done." David brought back the presence of the Almighty because they had lost it. When you get back the presence of God in your family, I promise you, you might do a little jig. Yeah. When you haven't had the presence of God working in your family for a while, I promise you get a taste of the presence and power of God. There's going to be something within you that says, this is the legacy that I've been trying to build. This is the legacy I want to leave to my kids. This is the legacy I want my grandkids to have. This is a true legacy. You see, legacy, no matter how you shake it, it can be good or bad. You can very well leave a legacy. The Manning family leave a really long legacy of quarterbacks. And that is all they focus on. And they're great quarterbacks. And they go great for our entertainment on Sunday afternoon, except when they throw interceptions and you have them on your fantasy team. That's not important right now. And That is a legacy they have built, but I'm telling you today, far more important is a legacy that lasts longer than this life. Now, I can't speak for the Manning family, whether they are building legacy of godly men and women in their family, I don't know. But I can tell you this, that I hope you today before you leave say, you know what? The most important thing to me is that my family follow God. Because if they don't, how will they ever know what the cost of eternity will be? We live in a day and time, and I won't preach on it today, but I do believe in it. We live in a day and time where people don't even believe hell exists anymore. Some don't even believe heaven exists anymore. And I'm coming to tell you, as a young man preaching an old-fashioned message, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is a life to turn away from. You cannot live and claim to be a good person and not follow the principles of the Word. But legacy, it's not built overnight. No way. It's through small daily choices. It's getting up in the morning, praying, hearing your kids wake up. Your kids wake up hearing you pray. Grandparents, when the grandkids are staying the night with you, they should wake up in the morning hearing you pray. A legacy is built small daily choices at a time. It is when dinner is over, we don't go watch our favorite TV show, but we sit down and just have a devotion. 5 minutes. I mean, I'm not keeping Scarlett's attention much longer than that, if I get lucky. But if I can tell her the story of Moses, or if I can tell her the story of the Red Sea, or maybe I could tell her the story of Noah, or even the story of Jesus. It's about putting it in them. I'm building a legacy. I'm building a legacy. And if you don't have that legacy builder in your family right now, guess who it is? You. You are responsible for building a legacy. I remember as a young boy sitting on the front porch with my grandfather, who pastored a church, talking about the Bible. Now, some fun fact about my grandfather is he didn't have a legacy before that. Well, he did. His legacy before that, before him, was have kids run off and leave them. His legacy before him, his turning to Christ was he started drinking and smoking at 12 years old. His legacy before him turning to Christ was never knowing his dad until his dad. He was in his 40s and his dad was in his late 70s, not even knowing him. My grandfather didn't grow up easy, didn't have it easy. In fact, he turned his life to Christ in a basement of a house. Went home, poured all the alcohol, all the pills, took all the drugs, flushed them down the sink, flushed them down the toilet, whatever. He's all gone, all done. He knew nothing about this Bible. He just knew that wasn't the legacy he wanted to leave. Prior to that experience, he had one child to whom he put liquor in his bottle and put him to bed and looked at him and said, "You're going to be just like me one day." Building legacy. As he turned his life to Christ and started reading God's Word, finding truth more and more and more as he pursued it, he was building legacy. He didn't know where to go to church. He didn't get it in church. He got it in a basement. He didn't know what church was, what going to church was like. And so he only knew he needed to share the gospel. So he bought a tent and bought a school bus and painted the school bus white and painted Noah's Ark on the side of it and went around the cities putting up a tent, preaching revivals. Until he found his way to Murfreesboro in 1970-something, 78, I believe. So when he set up a tent lot there and a church came by, a Pentecostal church, one of the first in Murfreesboro to preach Jesus' name, message, came by and said, "Our pastor is sick, would you come pastor us?" And 40-something years later, my grandfather passed away in 2021, having pastored and leaving a legacy. Now, just because he's a pastor doesn't mean he leaves a legacy for me to pastor. That's just coincidental in the kingdom. But the legacy is pursue the Word at all costs. No matter what your upbringing's like, no matter who your dad is, who your grandparents are, you can be thankful or you can turn it away. But the point is, what legacy are you building? If you have the great opportunity of having a legacy of godliness before you, you have the responsibility of passing on a baton. It's like a relay race. Eventually, you're going to get tired and have finished your race. There needs to be something passed on. Grandparents, you need to pass on prayer, wisdom, and faith. Parents, it's your responsibility to pick up that faith and prayer and wisdom and to take it and keep it moving forward. Young people, teenagers, students, young children, it is your responsibility to desire those things that your parents are pursuing and to be willing to take them when the time is ready. This is what I love. I love seeing children bring their parents to the altar because they desire to worship because they've seen their parents worship. I love seeing children who say this morning, Scarlett, I love talking about, because she's learning so much. So I just love talking about the things she learned. This morning, I'm in the back seat because the kids go crazy and I got to sit back there sometimes. And we're on the way to church this morning. I said, Scarlett, are you excited for today? Uh-huh. That's all she knows how to do. Uh-huh. She don't even know what I'm asking her. And then you know what I say? I say, Scarlett, Daddy's so excited. We're going to have some guests today. We're going to have families today. God's going to move today. Can you pray for Daddy? And she puts her hand on my head. And I pray, and she can't. And I'm talking about a kid who can't sit still in that chair out by her mama for the next 30 seconds. She sat there in that car seat and had her hand on my head while I prayed for 2 or 3 minutes about today, God's word, the worship we're going to give. She don't know what she's doing, but I know what I'm doing. I'm building a legacy. I'm going to have a prayer warrior that someone knows if there's something I need. I don't care if it's a need of emergent. I don't care if it's somebody sick or if we're just going to church. I'm going to ask God to do something. Yes, right. So often we come to church and it's just to fill the pew and to hear the message and to hear the worship, and nothing within us changes. How do you expect to build a legacy of comfort? How do you expect to build a legacy of apathy? God forbid that we build a legacy and teach our children and our grandchildren, students, your friends. How dare we build a legacy of coming and filling a role and a spot in a church and not leaving as the church? We have to understand that to build a legacy, we've got to turn this building into who we are. When we walk out of these doors, we're probably going to go eat Mexican. We're going to go to Randolph's. We're going to go to wherever we're going to go to eat. And you know what? Then it all seemed like it's over. That was a great service today. But that is not the end. That is the opportunity to take the legacy you committed to and implement it into the world outside of here. I don't know if you know this, but the people you interact with today are hurting. Just like you. I don't know if you know this, but the people outside of here today, when you go to lunch, they don't have hope right now. They don't know it. Sometimes it may feel like you don't have hope, but I'm hoping to give you some of that today. And I want you to leave here today, and when you encounter somebody that doesn't have hope, just tell them, hey, I got somewhere. Not this building. I got somewhere you can have hope. It's in the Word of God. I got somewhere you can have hope. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that you can have hope. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 7, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows them, he's like a wise man who built his house on a solid rock. Though the rains come, the storms come, and the floods rise, and the winds beat against the house, it is not going to collapse because it's built on a rock. What are you building your legacy on? Listen to me, families in the room. Finances are going to get tight. Sickness is going to come. Relationships will be tested. Storms are coming. You will not avoid them because it rains on the just and the unjust. You will experience storm in your life. But if you build your house on a rock and you build your legacy on a rock, I promise you nothing will tear it down. Nothing can come against it that will destroy it. You may have to go outside and repair something. Storm's going to come and you may have to put the prayer time back together. You may have to put the Bible reading and devotion time back together. But if you build it on a rock, right, Nothing will destroy it. So what will your legacy be? Will you teach your kids to be all-star athletes or all-star worshipers? Will you teach the kids to be workaholics, or will you teach them to be devoted to the kingdom? What legacy are we building? What will your children remember about you? That's an interesting question we don't think quite about enough. What will your children remember about you? Will they remember that you went out and worked and won the bread for the family? Will they remember you, Mom, and making dinner and praying over them and healing up their boo-boos and kissing their boo-boos? What will your kids remember about you? Will they remember that you prayed? Will they remember that you opened God's Word and told them stories about what's in there? What will your grandchildren remember about you? Will they remember that you worshiped or you worried? What will people see and remember about you? That you lived for yourself or that you were someone who pursued Christ? It's never too late. Wherever you are in this room, if you've got kids that are teenagers, you got kids that are young children that already have kind of formulated the idea of what home is like, it's not too late. If it's not built on the things of Christ, it's not too late to just shift over to a rock and build a legacy. Doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. Young kids in here, you can start building a legacy. It's all about your devotion and what you commit to the Lord. Can we stand across the room today as I close? Families. The idea of family. It's God's gift. Did you know that family is one of God's original creations? Matter of fact, He created all these animals. Created all the sun and the skies and the clouds and all these amazing things we see. But sometimes we forget that He spoke all of those things into existence. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let there be waters that cover the deep. He spoke all of those things. That's the power of His voice, right? When He speaks something into your life, it's done. It's done. It's done. But the family. The family. He got His hands dirty for it. He didn't take the idea of making a family and just say, let there be. The family, He took the dirt in His hand. And He made a man. And He took the breath of Himself, His own breath, and breathed into that man. He became a living soul. Then He puts that man to sleep, makes a better version of that man. I was waiting for it. Takes a rib out and makes him a woman, because it's not good for man to be alone. So the family is not something that you should take for granted, because God made it with His own hand. If you're a husband and a wife in the room, or grandparents married in the room, parents married in the room, God puts the family together with His own hand. Family is a gift from God. Grandparents are a blessing. But the greatest legacy you'll ever leave is not how to fish, but it's faith in Christ. You see, I'm kind of taking it slow in this moment because I really wanted to settle in on in your heart. So this isn't just something good to say and something awesome a pastor should preach. It's got to be something within you that says, I've been really too busy. This post-COVID world is busier than we've ever been because we're trying to do all of the things that we did before, after, and during. And I find myself sometimes feeling too busy to teach my kids to pray. I find myself a little too busy. I got a lot of stuff going on. I'm trying to pastor a church. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to provide for my family. And I want to make sure I have time with my wife. And I forget that, what kind of legacy am I trying to build? I'm trying to build a legacy that my kids and my grandkids remember that Cody, he followed Christ. He lived a life of faith. So today, I'm asking you, whether grandparent, parent, student, child, whoever you are in the room, I wonder if you can commit, I'm going to build a legacy on the foundation of the kingdom of God. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to pursue Him. And nothing else is more important than teaching my family about Him.